Well, good morning, everyone. Welcome to the house of the Lord. Great to see you on campus. Why don't we just clap our hands to Jesus first thing this morning, give him praise, let him know we're glad to be in his house. Thank you, Jesus. Those joining us on live stream and Facebook Live, welcome. Glad you're part of the service today. Before we begin our worship set this morning, let me just remind you of a couple of things. Don't forget Tuesday morning prayer. This Tuesday right here on campus at 10 o'clock here in the sanctuary. If you can come out on Tuesday, you will be blessed. And then a lot of things happening today in terms of Move the Mission. We're nearing the end of our Move the Mission fundraising season. And so we're doing some things. We had a great walk-a-thon yesterday. Our students went out. Thanks to all of our students. Great participation. I don't have a total of what all they raised yesterday, but I know it was a lot. We'll have some numbers to report back to you in the next few weeks. But today is Move the Mission Offering Sunday. And so what that means is that if you were planning to give to Move the Mission, a sacrificial offering, you haven't maybe given in one of the other causes that we've done over the summer, or even if you have, and you had a little bit more you wanted to give, today's the day to do that. So you can go online and give your offering under Move the Mission, or of course drop it in the offering box in the back. Today's the day for the Move the Mission offering. And in addition to that, after church, we're serving a Move the Mission lunch, dinner, pulled pork fundraiser. I've heard it called a number of different things, but you see the graphic there on the screen. Pulled pork lunch immediately after the altar service this morning over in the A Center. And these will be sold for $10 a lunch. That comes with the sandwich, barbecue beans, and a cupcake. And then we'll also have drinks for sale for $1 each. And let me just tell you, you're going to love it. It's going to be delicious. A number of our men were here most of the day yesterday preparing this. If you drove up kind of on the side and back of the church, you might have seen one of those extra large smokers back there. And so there was a lot of preparation, a lot of work that's gone into this. But the end result is fabulous, and you're going to be really glad that you're here today and have an opportunity to participate in that. I know you eat lunch somewhere after church on Sunday. Today, make it here at Grace Church so that we can Move the Mission over the top for this season. So God bless you for that. I guess it kind of feels like the opposite of announcing a pulled pork dinner, but it is. I do have to let you know we're going to begin 21 days of sacrifice on September the 2nd. So this is not to give you whiplash. This is not to be, opposite day or something. But we are beginning 21 days of sacrifice. That's not this coming Monday, but next. On September the 2nd, and we'll talk more about that as it gets a little closer, but 21 days of sacrifice all the way through September 2nd, 22nd, I believe that God hears and honors our prayers and our sacrifice. Last announcement, we will be doing baby dedication on Sunday, September the 15th. If you have a child to be dedicated to the Lord in that service, let the church office know. Amen. Stand with me this morning. I'm ready to worship the Lord. I got here early this morning, felt the presence of God, and I know that the service will be no exception. I'm anxious to see what God will do. If you feel that way, I'm going to ask you to clap your hands to Jesus, lift your voice, and let's welcome his presence into this place today along with the praise team.
In my heart, the sound that I see. as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Steadfast, consistent, faithful, unmovable is faithful over a consistent period of time. If you be steadfast, unmovable in everything that you are dealing with or going through, God is fighting for you. He will carry you. Don't give up.
Jesus, you change everything. Lives heal, hope found here now. Jesus, you change everything.
Anticipating the continuing moving of God's presence even today. Thank the Lord. Return to your seats. Remain standing. We're going to go to the Lord in just a second. to the Word of God, and we're going to continue to entertain the presence of the Lord. I've come today with a fire shut up in my bones. Have looked forward to this service for the past several weeks, and you'll understand that a little bit better in just a moment. I do have one kind of a presentation, an announcement, if you will, that's just what I call kind of housekeeping kind of announcement. Our lobby staff has let me know several times over the past several months that we have children that's running around outside the sanctuary, especially during altar service, even going upstairs to some of the Sunday school rooms, what have you. And if our parents could help us out with that a little bit. We love our children. Yes, we do. We make that very clear. But we sure don't want anyone to get hurt or injured, fall down the steps, climbing on furniture, fall off furniture. All of that kind of thing is going on. So if you would help us out with that, we would appreciate it so very much. Thank the Lord. Again, great to see all of you here. Thank you so very much for coming. Let's go to the Word of God today. It's going to be a little lengthy, but if you'll be patient with me, you'll understand. If you'll remember last Sunday, I talked to you about the power of a harp, using the scripture setting where David played before Saul, and just playing and singing had power enough in it to drive away evil spirits. If you'll remember that, I ask you to remember that sermon this past Wednesday night, and for the benefit of today. In 1 Samuel 16, verse 11, and Samuel said unto Jesse, are here all thy children? And he said, there remaineth yet the youngest, and behold, he keepeth the sheep. And Samuel said unto Jesse, send and fetch him, for we will not sit down till he come hither. And he sent and brought him in. Now he was ruddy and withal of a beautiful countenance and goodly look to. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is he to be the next king of Israel. And Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brethren. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel rose up and went to Ramah. Before I continue reading, Joseph Watley, come stand beside me here for a second. I did not prepare him for this. He don't know what he's about to get into, but if anybody can handle it, he can. Thank you, sir. Just stand right there. You don't have to do a thing. Just stand there. Joseph is 14 years old. I want y'all to keep that in mind. 1 Samuel chapter 17. Verse 22. And David left his carriage and the land of the keeper of the carriage and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. It is believed by most Bible commentaries that when David was doing what I am now reading in 1 Samuel chapter 17, he was between the ages of 12 and 16. He's between 12 and 16. Joseph is 14, so he's halfway in between. So it would be a young man about this age who is doing what I'm reading. I want everybody to keep that in mind. Verse 23, and as he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were so afraid. Everyone fled except David. I'm not being funny. Verse 25, and the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up, surely to defy Israel? Is he come up? And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich him with great riches and will give him his daughter and make his father's house free in Israel. And David spoke to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel. For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? A young man about this age is saying these things. And the people answered after this manner, saying, so shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men, and Eliab's anger was kindled against David. And he said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know your pride and your naughtiness of heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, now what have I done? Is there not a cause? And he returned, and he turned from him toward another and spake after the same manner. The people answered him again after the former manner. And when they heard the words, when the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul. And he, Saul, sent for David. So David is now standing in front of the king of Israel. And David said to Saul, come over here so I can put my hand on you. David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of the giant. I will go and fight this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you're not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you're but a youth, and he's a man of war from his youth. And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out before him and smote him and delivered him out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard and smote him and slew him. And thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he has defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, okay, go ahead. God bless you. And Saul armed David. I want all of our students to pay attention to this right here. Saul armed David. Saul is not qualified to arm anybody. He's not using his own armor to go out there and fight anybody himself. So why is he going to give his armor to somebody else to go fight? Mom and Dad. So he put on all of Saul's armor and it didn't work. I'll skip down to verse 40. David took his staff in his hand, which is for guidance. The Bible talks about, the commentaries talk about, chose him 5 smooth stones out of the brook and put them in a shepherd's bag, which he had, even a scrip, not a script, a scrip. Talk about that in a moment. And his sling. Everybody say his sling. His sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. And the Philistine came on and drew near unto David. And the man that bare the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked out and saw David, he disdained him. He hated him. For he was but a youth and ruddy and of a fair countenance. And the Philistine said unto David, am I a dog that thou comest to me with staves, with a staff? And Goliath didn't notice the slingshot. He didn't notice the slingshot. I don't know how he missed it. I'll talk about that in a minute. Why have you come to me with staves or with your staff? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh unto the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field. And then said David to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day the Lord will deliver thee into my hand. I will smite thee. I will take thy head from thee. David wasn't satisfied with just killing him. He said, I'm going to chop your head off. Y'all get it? This wasn't our great hunter fisherman back there, Waylon Frame. The tough, ruddy man who can kill anything and has guns and bullets and all of that stuff in his house. Here's this dude, 12 to 16 years old, with a slingshot. He went on to say in verse 47, all this assembly shall know that the Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. And it came to pass when the Philistine arose, apparently Goliath just went on ahead and sat down. He arose and came and drew nigh to meet David, that David hasted and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. And David put his hand in his bag, put a stone in a sling, and slung it, and smote the Philistine in the forehead, that the stone sunk into his forehead, and Goliath fell upon his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood upon the Philistine, took his sword, drew it out of the sheath thereof, and slew him, and cut off his head therewith. And when the Philistines saw their champion was dead, they fled. I want to preach to you for a little while the power of a sling. The power of a sling. Thank you, sir. Everybody say thank God for the word. God bless you, and you may be seated. Everybody clap your hands to the Lord in praise and worship. I want to preach to you the power of a sling. Hashtag stone slingers. Stone slingers. David was anointed publicly, as I talked to you about that last Sunday, in front of his brethren. There was a public demonstration of this anointing. God knew it. Samuel knew it. David knew it. And David's brothers knew it. This was an Old Testament type of somebody being filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Last Sunday I preached to you that David used a harp to deal with the devil, which is a type of prayer and praise and worship. This was an instrument. This is how you handle a devil, an evil spirit, troubling a child of God. You didn't use your sling. You used a harp. Y'all remember that from last Sunday? But God didn't stop with equipping David with just a harp. He gave David another weapon. I cannot strive too hard today to persuade all of us that these things were given to the young men of Israel when they were a child. They learned how to use a sling, and they learned how to use a harp as kids. We use these as Sunday school stories, but we never elevate them to using them as adults. This is just a kid story. You don't hear the animation of David killing Goliath to a group of adults, but you hear it in kids' church. But many people think of these ancient slings as not much more than toys. I'm going to change all of that here today. It's the point of this sermon. The Bible tells us that David killed the giant Philistine Goliath with one very accurately slung stone. The Bible states that the Israelites used slings as weapons of war, and they were taught how to use them when they were a child. Y'all are not hearing me right now, I have a feeling. Just because you learned how to use a sling as a child doesn't mean you retire that weapon when you're not a child anymore. Being a child teaches you how to use it for the rest of your life. Okay, I can't get ahead of myself. The Bible states that the Israelites used slings as weapons of war in 2 Kings 3:25. Archaeologists are finding evidence that confirms these biblical stories. Sling stones were important weapons in an ancient army's arsenal. At one excavation site in Israel, 10 miles north of Jerusalem, sling stones have been found in almost every area of the dig. Interestingly, the site is located in the territory given to the tribe of Benjamin. This tribe was known for an elite corps of slingers, many of whom were left-handed. The 700 of them, the Bible said, each could sling a stone at a hair and not miss. We would call that a modern-day sniper. Y'all on board yet? Judges 20, this is Israel conquering the land of Canaan. To give you context on the time, the children of Benjamin were numbered at that time out of the cities, 26,000 men that drew swords, beside the inhabitants of Gibeah, which were numbered 700 chosen men. Among all these people were 700 chosen left-handed. Every one could sling stones at an hairbreadth and not miss. They weren't playing. This isn't a toy from Walmart. This was a very skillfully designed weapon that a child could use and knock down a 9 to 12 foot tall giant by himself, and his parents were not even on the battlefield. They weren't even at the battle. They were still at their house. First Chronicles 12, moving forward into the kingdom age of the Old Testament. Chapter 12, verse 1. Now these are they that came to David to Ziklag, while he yet kept himself close because of Saul the son of Kish, and they were among the mighty men helpers of the war. They were armed with bows and could use both the right hand and the left in hurling stones and shooting arrows out of a bow, even of Saul's brethren of Benjamin. So not naturally rounded, talking about the stone, they weren't naturally rounded. They all have evidence of being shaped by man. These stones don't talk, but they do tell tales about the people who once lived there. An archaeologist named Dr. Bryant Wood, Associates for Biblical Research, said, after three seasons of excavation, we have found nearly three dozen sling stones. Most are roughly round and slightly over 2 inches in diameter, from the size of a billiard ball or to the size of a tennis ball. It is unclear when men first started slinging stones instead of throwing them. Man, I could preach for, and pulled pork sandwiches are holding me back. It's unclear when they first started slinging stones. When you become a child of God, after a while, you learn what a stone is for. It's not to throw at your fellow man. It's to sling one at your enemy. So it didn't take long for them to learn that stones could be slung faster and farther and more accurately than they could be thrown. Early slingers also found smoother, rounded stones that were far more effective than any other shape. Ancient hand slings generally consisted of a single long strip of leather or woven wool with a central pocket for the stone. The longer sling had the greater range to fire a stone, or they called it a missile. Long-range slings were about 3 feet long. Archaeologist Grace Keldner said, slingers are often visualized as realizing overhead, yet the best way to utilize a sling is by an underhand motion like a softball pitcher. Y'all follow me? She said, elaborate windups were wasted motion. One windup, like a good softball pitcher, was sufficient. I've got to say this. Man, we get in church and we sling and wind and sling and wind and sling and wind. And then we get outside and we're terrified. If you learn how to use one properly, you load it. You can load it real quick. David did it on the run, if you didn't catch that in the text that I read. I don't have time to go into all this. He loaded on the run and slung one time, just and it sunk into Goliath's skull. If David was 10 feet away, that's pretty amazing. But I have a feeling he was a lot further. So before the development of the modern compound bow, ancient stone slingers were as effective as archers and served as an important part of any military force. Surprisingly, a good slinger hurled a stone as far and accurately as a good archer. Roman military texts recommended archery target practice at about 200 yards. Roman archers would practice shooting targets 2 football fields long. Slingers are known to hurl their projectiles even farther, as much as 440 yards or close to a quarter of a mile, and hit a hare with it. You know how they could do that as a man? Because they learned as a child. And you folks up here on the front couple of rows getting wimpy with the devil, you ought to be able to fire some slings. You should be stone slingers right about now and can handle your own devil problems without running around scared half to death and what have you. I'm sorry, did I say something wrong here? As for accuracy, one ancient writer noted that the best slingers would wound not merely the head of their enemies, but any part of the face at which they might have aimed. Experiments demonstrate that stones or missiles can leave a sling in excess of 60 miles an hour. Imagine getting hit by a stone the size of a pool table ball, a billiard ball, or a tennis ball flying at 60 miles an hour. Let that hit you in the head and see how big and bad you are after that. I know where I'm going with this. One Roman writer noted that opponents in leather armor were in far greater danger from sling missiles than arrows. Even if the stone did not penetrate the armor, it was capable of inflicting a fatal internal injury. This is kind of the way it works. Let me stray for just a second. If anybody knows anything about boxing, and I don't, but I do know this. Their glove weighs about a pound. And if they can hurl their fist around and hit you in the ribs in certain places, it will disable your kidneys, your liver. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Somebody shake your head. Okay. This is kind of how that stone worked. It would hit and rattle your head so bad, it could cause brain concussions, it could literally knock you out. Even if you had on leather armor, even if it didn't penetrate the skin, it could deliver a blow to you that would knock you to your knees. Unarmored bodies were easily penetrated by sling stones. An ancient medical book included instructions for removing lead and stone sling missiles from the bodies of wounded soldiers. I don't want to insult Goliath too much, but he over-accentuated his size. The Philistines did. Here's my point. He was huge, and he was all decked out in armor, but apparently he didn't protect his head, which is showing a blatant sign of military ignorance to me. If anybody on this planet knew that Israel had slingshot shooters or stone slingers, the Philistines should have. He should have known that they could send a kid out here that can fire a slingshot and hit me in the head with it from up to a quarter of a mile away. As brilliant as the devil is, he still underestimates the power of one child of God properly equipped. I'm saying this. I could stop and preach and just keep preaching, and we'd be here for 2 or 3 hours, literally, and I'm not going to do that. I read last night about Hezekiah praying to God when he was surrounded by the Assyrian army, some 185,000 of them. Jerusalem was surrounded by them. Assyria was wanting to take on that whole known part of the world. Hezekiah prayed, and God sent one angel and destroyed that entire army. Now, we think that's fairy tale stuff, but David's battle has been proven throughout archaeology that a young man Joseph's size could take down a man 10 to 12 feet tall, no telling how much he weighed, of immense strength, using material that he learned as a child. Not a college degree. Not all the theology and all of that. People wear me out when they say, well, I'm not intelligent enough and I don't know enough about the Bible to witness and to do all these things. When God's in it, it's not your knowledge anyway that impresses people. And your ignorance won't offend people. It's the presence of God in you that moves people, that makes it the whole thing work. So Goliath should have known. Number two. When David didn't come out in any armor, but he's got that little rope tied around his head, and he's got another rope tied around his waist, and he's got this little bag on the side of his waist called a scrip, that means gleaning. So all through David's childhood, he learned the good stones to use depending on what weapon or target he was firing at. He knew to use a big one, a small one. He knew which length of sling to use. He learned that as a child. We have adults here today that never has learned to use your spiritual sling, which rock to use, what your target is. It's time somebody get back in a prayer room and get off of Facebook and social media and all the foolishness and say, I need a relationship with God. I want to become a warrior for the modern day church. I want to know what my target is, and I want to know how to take it down in the name of Jesus. Everybody clap your hands and somebody shout, yes! All right, sit down. I have just a few more minutes left. I submit to all of us today that David always had his sling. When you study this subject, you understand. When you learn how to use a slingshot, it was just common sense to carry it with you everywhere you go. And the part of the country we live in right now, we have various animals that run around our property. They're mostly tame animals, but you never know. We've seen fox, and there's raccoons. They can do some damage. So if I walk any distance at all, I carry a little thing of mace. Plus, people don't believe in the leash law too much where we live, so you don't know what kind of dog is going to approach you. I'm not going to go walk around in the dark stupid. I don't know why we can't figure this out. As Christian people, it takes a little discipline, some prayer life, some fasting, and a little bit of knowledge of the Word of God, where I told you how powerless a harp looks in the right hands. It can chase away demons. I showed you that last Sunday. I'm teaching you today that there are things virtually everybody in this building, everybody, has learned when you were a child. That's the only knowledge David had. He was a glorified Sunday school kid, Kelly. He was a kid out of your class. I don't know why our students can't cast devils out of people. You can speak with new tongues. Okay, I'm going to go on through my message, and I will maybe do some follow-up in the future. David always had his sling. He never went anywhere empty-handed. They just didn't. They were trained that way from a child. It was a weapon that he could tie around his head and use it for a headband. He could wear it around his waist. It is believed that he carried it more than one to be prepared for any situation. He carried a script and he kept his stones in it. He gleaned from everywhere he went and he tucked that away, and I'm going to fire that in my slingshot one of these days. So to everyone here today, the Spirit of God will lead you into places you never thought you would go. And we must be prepared and spiritually armed at all times. That means prayed up and in touch with God. This is something almost everyone here today learned as a child in Sunday school and in kids' church. David had his sling and since he was a child, and he knows where the brooks are, and he learned that brooks are not just for water. There's more applications to the Bible than just for our refreshing. He knows where to get stones for his slings. He knows where to find resources for battle. For us, it is not found on social media and friends and family. And I want to be real careful here, and I'm going to introduce a concept, and you're going to hear more about it in the future. It's not even constantly going from church to church all over the state to listen to your favorite preacher. Preaching is important, and listening to preaching is important. But there is no substitute for a prayer room. You will never find a substitute for a prayer room. You will never find a substitute for prayer. Knowledge doesn't exceed prayer. Experience doesn't exceed prayer. And I want to encourage our young people, especially those of you that are driving, on your own, why don't you get a couple of buddies together and stay, instead of going to somewhere to eat and going to this and that and all over, why don't we go back to Grace Church and get in a Sunday school room for about a half hour or so and stay there until we talk to God, until we feel God, until we have a relationship with God. I can't tell you what it did to me. I cannot tell you what it did to me when I was about y'all's age up here on the front two rows, and I had a prayer meeting by myself one time. My mama wasn't praying with me. My daddy wasn't. My friends at church wasn't. I was praying by myself at church, and the power of God invaded that room, and it changed my thinking. It revolutionized my thinking. I learned right then that I was equipped with a power that wasn't dependent upon my pastor and upon my Sunday school teacher and with my parents. I can touch God by myself. I don't have to have a piano and a praise team and all of my friends in front of an altar. I can get in my closet at home, and God will meet me there as powerful as He will anywhere else. Okay, I've got to hurry on. So David knew where to get the stones, and he knew what a slingshot was about, all of that. I want our students to start feeling the anointing and power of God. Not to make you super spiritual and go on an ego trip, no sir. But I want you to understand, when you get alone with God, Joseph, when you get alone with God, Heston, when you get alone with God, Garrett, you can pray by yourself. You can pray all by yourself and feel as much as the power of God as you're feeling right now. I must tell you quickly, and time is quickly expiring on me, but years ago when I was a teenager, my brother, just older than me, wasn't serving God. He was backslidden in a bad kind of way. And his best friend at the time was also backslidden, but his best friend prayed through, and me and him became friends more than he was best friends with my brother. We went to Shoney's after Sunday night service. I'll never forget it. We were fired up for Jesus, much like you are. I didn't drive yet. I didn't have a car. We was in his little 1965 Chevrolet pickup truck. And we went and ate it. We had church Sunday night, did all the altar stuff. It was during the summer. School was out. We went to Shoney's at Florida and Wooddale, got something to eat. And we're like, okay, what are we going to do now? I don't remember which one of us said it, but one of us said it. Why don't we go back to the church and pray a while? Whoever it was said it, the other one agreed. We drove back to the church. walked in. It was just the two of us. And we walked into the room designated as a prayer room. It was just he and I. And I remember it was about 11:15. I don't know how long we've been praying, a little over an hour by now. We were praying, and then I heard my friend call my brother's name simultaneously as I called my brother's name. And we spent about the next 15, 20 minutes praying exclusively for my brother. The following Sunday night, Brother Curtis Young preached a message about the woman with the issue of blood. When she touched Jesus from behind, it turned him around, and he just elevated this woman out of that whole crowd and just picked her up, and not literally, but just... You understand what I'm saying? Her faith got his attention and turned him around. We were praying or sitting right up here in the front, and I saw movement out of the corner of my eye and turned and looked, and there my brother came to the altar, and God refilled him with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He went into ministry and has recently retired from ministry. Let me tell you what you can learn in Sunday school that can change the lives of people. You can have very simple, basic knowledge. You learn how to use that Bible, and you learn how to use your prayer life, your prayer life. Your prayer life. You use your faith, your passion, your desire, and see what God can do when you tuck yourself away in a prayer room somewhere. Sit down. Gotta hurry. David arms himself with five smooth stones. Why? David knows the right stones to fight with. He had practiced many an hour out in the fields tending to the sheep as a child and a teenager. It's all about preparation. But God is not going to put stones in your hands until you learn how to use them. Oh, faithless people. David picked up five smooth stones to take on a very big man. Why five when he only needed one? I'm glad you asked. Five stones for one big Philistines. It could be Jesus, and I've heard that all of my life, representing the name of Jesus. But I'll say God always gives you more than you need to overcome the enemy. He will never exhaust your supply in one battle. You always have more left over for the one tomorrow and the next day and the next day. But I also want you to notice, and here's my message. This is what I'm trying to get to. I want you to notice the Bible said that Goliath had four sons in 2 Samuel 21 and verse 22. These four were born to the giant in Gath, and all four of his sons either failed by the hand of David himself or by the hand of his servants. God knew there's a new generation of giants that are coming, and I'm going to give David everything he needs to take out those giants as well. But not only did God equip David, God also equipped his servants. I want somebody to hear me right now. He didn't leave the job up to David because he knew one day that David was going to be gone off the scene. And he was going to need some younger people to take down the giants. I'm preaching my heart out right now. There's a new generation of giants that's roaming our land that I've never faced, that you've never faced, and you never faced. But they're facing them. I submit to you today that I am passing down from my arsenal of defense weaponry. The same that worked for my giant will work against your giant. John the Baptist said in Matthew 3:9, think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children of Abraham. I want to preach to us today. We're not done at my age. We're not done at his age. We're still working, preparing, and equipping a group of young people to understand the power of a sling, something you learned as a child. Slaying giants is something that is generational. It's something that we pass on to our kids. There's some powerful moms and dads here today. There's people here today that have slew their giants in their generation. But God is looking for people who are willing to bear a sling to use against the giants of this generation. So who is going to be the next April and the next Melanie and others who's going to be intercessors, who's going to know how to travail and to prevail against the demonic activity of our society. I can't help but think of the Taylor family. They often talk about their mother. The four siblings do, but I'm watching them. Shelley and Kelly both have told me on occasions that we just don't admire what our mother did and our family and the impact that she had, but now we're trying to do the same thing in our home as our mother did, and we're trying to train our kids like she trained us. Thank God for people like that. Don't think for one minute that what I'm preaching is old fogey. It's amazing to me that we rejoice about the New Testament when they casted out devils, but when we talk about our grandpa doing it, it's old fashioned and old fogey. I want you to understand the same thing that delivered them from the sin of their day is the same thing that will deliver us from the sin of our day. Come on, mom and dad, somebody get behind me. We've got to teach our kids how to sling stones and conquer the giants that are in their life. Okay, I'm going to hurry on. Y'all sit down, you got the point. No, never mind, y'all stand up. Everybody stand up. I'm not nearly done. I might preach this again next Sunday, who knows, and try to do a little better job and to finish it. But I want to conclude quickly with a man in the Old Testament that's considered one of the patriarchs, and you hear very little about him. His name was Isaac. He's known for the guy that was supposed to be the sacrifice that God spared, but you don't know much about his life after that. In Genesis 26, the Bible talks about Isaac's servants. Isaac was a well digger. He digged wells. When you live out in the desert, it's kind of important to know where the water's at. Anybody feel me? He said they started digging, and they found a well of springing water. And the herdman of Gerar did strive with Isaac's herdman, saying, "The water is ours." And he called the name of the well Esek, because they strove with him. So Isaac's servants went on, and they digged another well and strove for that one also, and Isaac called the name of that one Sitna. And he removed from there and digged yet another well, and for that they strove not. And he called the name of it Rehoboth, and said, for now. Everybody say for now. Brother Dave, for now. For now, we're okay, for now. We're okay for now. Don't know about tomorrow, but for now. The Lord hath made room for us, and we shall be fruitful in the land. To the generations of people sitting in front of me, from elder to younger, we cannot give up the wells that have been dug by the people before us. You cannot give up the wells that I've dug. You can't give up the wells that Brother Davis dug. You can't give up the well that your mom and dad, I'm talking about that source from whence the presence of God comes. I submit to you today that the young people among us that have been born again is not our enemies that we fire stones at. Our enemies are Goliaths. Their sin and worldliness and carnality and compromise and backsliding and bad attitudes and rebellion and lust and adultery and fornication. The Bible calls these things the sins of the flesh. This is what we hurl our stones at. But God has given to us the will of broad places. Broad places. You see, the first well that Isaac dug, Esek, means quarrel. The second one they dug is Sitna, means strife. We've had that. The third one they dug means broad places. God has given us broad places, and he's placed us in a land of victory and power. And it's our responsibility to keep it broad and pure and holy, to keep the fires of revival burning. It's God's Spirit that has raised you up and made you a weapon in the hand of God. And I want to remind everybody here today, it's not the size of the dog in the fight. It's the power of God on the inside of you. It's not the size of the Pentecostal that lives for God, but it's the size of the God that lives in the Pentecostal. I'm looking for some stone slingers here today.
I'm looking for some moms and dads that'll pick up that sling, pick up those things you learned when you was a kid. Looking for some grandparents that'll pick up that slingshot again and gather up some stones and let the devil know I'm sick and tired of what's going on in my family and my own life. Students, I need some stone slingers. Pastor needs some stone. We need some people to be loyal to Grace Church and help us keep Grace Church a broad place where we can have perpetual victory and revival and growth, and to see the hand of God work in the lives of people all around us. It's not going to and fro, but it's coming out of a prayer room and coming to an altar and impacting the lives of people around you. Our P7 students, as a matter of fact, whoever you are, why don't you come up here first right now? We'll call y'all up first. They're on the front battle line. They're taking Bible to their classrooms. Where's the rest of them? Are they next door? Maybe somebody can come take Greeley's place up here. Stone slingers. You're not bringing your Bible to your high school campus to be the most popular kid on the campus. You're there to teach the Word of God. We're our Bible quizzers. Why don't y'all come up here next? Hurry up. Y'all move faster than that. Come on. We got pulled pork next door. Where's our all-state choir singers? Y'all, any of y'all here today? Allison? What am I leaving out? All you young folk students that get buck wild about NAYC up in Indianapolis, wherever it's at, why don't y'all come down here? Y'all come on. I need some stone slingers. Along with these, how many moms and dads would join me just for a few minutes, just for a few minutes, that you come stand behind these folks and say, we're going to join together. We're not giving our sling. Mom and dad, you're not giving your sling to these people. You're keeping yours. You're giving them one of their own. And we're going to learn how to be stone slingers. And we're going to win victory after victory after victory. It would be nice to have our intercessors up here. It'd be nice to have those that know how to travail up here. Don't give it away. You keep it. But train these folks how to use that to be a weapon to use against the evil that's in our generation tonight. Now everybody else come up behind these folks and let's have a few minutes of altar service. Y'all sing. Sing loud. Sing good. Sing hard. We need something to happen right now. We need something to happen right now. All of you around the front, if you hear an elder behind you, it might be your mom or dad, an older person, I want you to reach up with him. Mama, give me what you've got. Teach me what you've got. Show me how to use what you've used for years. I want to know how to pray like you pray. I want to know how to work for God like you work for God. Come on, somebody help me right now. We need somebody that'll touch God. We need somebody that'll touch God right now. Then God